3:03, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Monday afternoon. The humidity has returned. We've got some real rain and thunderstorms. Fixing to roll in any moment now, but we'll get through that. Oh, the Democrats are beginning the coronation. This will be the second coronation in the last couple of years you and I have gotten to see. First one was King What's-His-Face over in England. And now we're going to see Kamala Harris with her coronation. Tonight's the night. They take Biden out in back of the shed, apparently, and are done with him. They're going to bring him on stage tonight and tell a whole bunch of lies about him. And then he is officially kicked to the curb, even for Joe Biden, who, in all candor, is a despicable human being. This is a terrible, terrible exit from public life. But, well, when you're owned and operated by special interests and extremists, this is the way it goes, right? Nobody leaves the mafia with their big retirement plan. You're always worried that the next job is actually going to be a job on you. And Joe Biden has lived his life politically, enriching himself, enriching his family, being completely and totally dishonest with the American people every single step of the way. And now is being officially shown the door. He has, what, a couple of months left, 3 months left as president? And who knows if he's really president? I don't know that he's president. I don't know exactly who is in charge there, but you know it's not him. I mean, come on. Kamala Harris is telling us that, high food prices cause inflation. Anybody and everybody who actually follows that little bouncing ball understands that that is not true. I wanted to share an example with you. You know, this weekend was an interesting weekend. And today I should be in Israel, as you know. Saturday I was supposed to leave for Israel and begin this approximately 1 week visit to Israel. And the organization that had put the trip together, the Jewish Community Federation, called it off. And so I'm not there. I mean, it is what it is. But this weekend, I spent a fair amount of time doing some paperwork. I got a lot of stuff that I got to do. And it's kind of weird, but I'll tell you the two things that I'm looking at. Number one, as I am coming up on September the 9th, which is my birthday, and I told you it's like a big seminal birthday, right? It's one of those numbers where you go, ooh, okay. I've decided I'm stepping back from a couple of things. I'm on a million different boards and commissions. And I'm kind of giving my notice to a bunch of them because I just can't devote as much time to each of them as I would like. And ultimately, unfortunately, with a lot of these boards, it all comes down to fundraising. You know, there's always a hit that says, hey, can you be part of this fundraising? I can't do that anymore. I just can't keep going to the same people and saying, would you mind writing a check and helping with this charity board that I'm on? So I'm going to dial that back. I'm not giving up everything. I mean, I want to be clear on that. But I am going to be stepping back from some of those just because I don't have the time to do it. Or, in honesty, the inclination to do it. So I'm going to step back from some of those. And I also was doing this paperwork. It's like a thesis, but to use the term thesis is really insulting to people who actually had a real thesis. Like if you were going for your master's degree, you had a real thesis. This is a thesis-like project for the motivational speaking stuff that I do. And I was able to get that all hammered out and done and waiting for the last piece, which is my friend Jeremy, who was kind enough a couple of weeks back when I did the big speech to the Friendship Circle, for the Friendship Circle, came out and did this great two-camera shoot, and he's editing it and all that stuff. So as soon as that's done, meaning me, will submit it. And hopefully we'll get this nifty super-duper seal of approval and be able to share that with everybody. But one of the things that I was doing is that I was chatting with my oldest son. Now, as you know, Harry is an absolutely brilliant kid who is so unbelievably wrong on politics. It is painful. It's like a punch in the gut. And he is involved. I'm not allowed to say what his job is, but suffice to say, it's a pretty impressive job for anyone, not the least of which someone who has just graduated with their bachelor's degree. So, I mean, he's doing a lot of really important stuff, but he's shared a couple of things with me. And I'm not going to go into details except to say this. He lives in California now, or he's living in California as we speak. And he keeps telling me how expensive things are. He does. He gives, you wouldn't believe how expensive this stuff is. Really? Well, what's that? Well, you know, gasoline is like $6-7 a gallon. Well, that's expensive. I said, well, don't all you guys have your electric cars? Well, no, there are not enough charging stations. And then we keep getting these things from people saying you can't charge them between this hour and that hour. And so because the grid isn't this. Oh, okay. And you just wouldn't believe how expensive stuff is compared to, other places, like, back home. Really? Now, why do you think that is? Oh, just stop. You don't want to talk about that. Well, I'll tell you why it is. Because California is a socialist utopia. California right now is experiencing exactly what Kamala Harris wants to do to the rest of us. Do you know how much it costs to buy a home of any sort in California? You will start at around $700,000 for a very basic 3-bedroom, 2-bath home. That's a standalone home if you can find it. Now, California is a very large state. I don't want you to think that is exactly the same in every municipality or every county, every city out there. It's not. I mean, there are differences region to region. But that is the fundamental entry point overall throughout most of California. Harry has a 1-bedroom apartment. It is 1-bedroom, 1-bath. His rent is the same as my mortgage is here in Virginia. If he continues at that pace, he will never, ever be able to afford a home. Kamala Harris has done that. And other socialist wackadoodles who have run California for years. If you want an example of their economic policies, just look at California. If you'd like to look a little bit closer to home, you can look at Northern Virginia. Right? We've had the far left in charge of places like Fairfax and Arlington and Alexandria for a long time. You see what they've done there. On Friday, this past Friday, we had two local business owners on this program. Now, both of them happen to be dear friends, and I think the world of each of them, but that's not why they were with us. Tom Leonard, who owns and operates Tom Leonard's Farmers Market in Short Pump. Well, Tom and Karen are friends. They're great people. And Heidi and I are loyal customers of Tom Leonard's Farmers Market. But Tom was on to talk about food prices. And Tom told us, for supermarkets, man, it is a razor-thin margin. Kamala Harris claiming that she's going to come in and tell grocers what they should charge for items in their store is ludicrous, and it is headed for complete and total disaster. If you really believe that a federal government, which has not had a balanced budget since 2001, and is now, what did we figure out, was it $35 trillion in debt, is going to tell Tom Leonard at Tom Leonard's Farmers Market exactly how much he should charge per pound for grapes, then you've lost your mind and you're as crazy as they are. Stan Andruski was with us from Certified Auto Repair. Said the margins there, again, paper thin. Paper thin. And the last time the government got involved in that sector, you remember Cash for Clunkers? They took perfectly good used vehicles off the road They convinced people who could not afford it that they should actually go and buy new cars with the help of the government. And the old cars, which were perfectly fine, they disabled every one of the engines. They put people into vehicles they couldn't afford, and those are upside down, and those people are having to give the keys back. Banks don't really want cars. Believe it or not, banks don't want your house or your car. They want money. But when they are forced to lend to people who cannot afford it in the first place, there's a problem. Then if you have Uncle Sam saying, well, we're going to give you $10,000, $15,000, $25,000 towards this. I thought, well, let me give you an example of inflation, because people don't fully understand inflation, apparently. At least according to the news reports, because the news reports the other day were like, well, you know, inflation was only up whatever it was. They say 0.9%. Oh, that's all it was. No big deal. Except it's cumulative. So I came up with this example. Let's go back in time. You know how Kamala Harris keeps saying, you know, on my first day in office. Well, ma'am, your first day in office was January the 20th, 2020. Remember that? 2021, rather. Remember that? That's when you were sworn in as Vice President of the United States. You've already had your first day in office. You have failed miserably, but that's another story. But let's take a couple of examples. Let's say that you weighed 200 pounds. Now, for some guys, you're going, yeah! And some people are going, no! All right, but it's a nice number. And you know me, I'm not really a numbers guy, so I need things easy like that. We're going to start with you weighing 200 pounds. And in just a moment, I'm going to explain to you, as you start at 200 pounds, exactly what inflation is. All right? Stay close to that. I got a pair of tickets I've got to give away today. It's KC and the Sunshine Band. They are coming to Meadow Event Park, Atlantic Union Bank After Hours, the Serve Pro Pavilion up there in Doswell. We love it. Heidi and I just absolutely love that place. Matt Krieger and the crew do a great job there. Anyway, KC and the Sunshine Band coming on August the 31st, 7 p.m. Now, I want to make it easy. Let me see here. Well, you know what? It's Monday, and I know Jeremy always likes a little shout-out. How about we do it at 4:20? Is that all right, Jerm? We'll do it at 4:20 this afternoon. We'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets for KC and the Sunshine Band. All right, so you're standing on your scale. You weigh 200 pounds. Hold that thought, and moments from now, I'll explain to you exactly how that plays into inflation. 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Oh, man. Well, okay. I see what we're doing there. Chronic Care of Richmond text line always available to you. 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. Okay. Stay with me on this. Follow closely because I do believe that I am explaining inflation the right way to you. So we're going to start back in 2020, right? Remember then? You weighed 200 pounds. And in that year, 2020, you gained 5 pounds. Got it? Let's go forward a year. 2021. You're sitting around. You're doing a lot of chips and dips and dips and chip. And you gained 11 pounds. Now let's go to 2022. Still sitting around. You're still eating junk. You've gained 9 pounds. On top of the 11 pounds, on top of the 5 pounds. 2023, you gain 6 pounds. Now, you're following, right? You have gained weight every single solitary year. 2020, you gained 5 pounds. 2021, you gained 11 pounds. 2022, you gained 9 pounds. 2023, 6 pounds. This year, 2024, you've only gained 3 pounds. Your weight gain is down. Well, that's true. You've only gained 3 pounds instead of the 6 pounds you gained last year, so your weight gain is down. That's what they mean when they say inflation is down. It does not negate or erase the inflation that happened in years prior or in months prior, but you can honestly say inflation is down. Now, let's go back to the weight example. Your weight gain is down in the year 2024, but you are still 34 pounds heavier than you were in 2020. That's inflation. That's the way inflation works. It stacks on top of itself. Every single month, we get some sort of inflation number. And when they tell you, well, you know, the rate of inflation is down. Okay. Well, what was the rate of inflation last month and the month before that and the month before that? You see what I'm saying? You and I are going to the grocery store and seeing much higher prices. You and I are going to the gas station and we are seeing much higher prices. And they can tell you, well, this month the inflation rate was down. And they might very well be telling you the truth. But that doesn't mean that prices are lower. It doesn't mean that your purchasing power is increasing, because you already took the hit. You already gained that weight in the year before, or the year before that, or the year before that. And that builds on top of itself over and over and over. If you decide you want to vote for Kamala Harris, that's up to you. I can't tell you that that's good. Well, I can tell you I think it's very that it's a terrible decision, but that's my opinion. If you've decided that's what you're going to do, then that's what you're going to do. Not my job to tell you otherwise. That being said, you'd better closely examine what you're getting into. You know, right now, they are trying to position Kamala Harris. They're referring to her as California's top cop because she served briefly as the attorney general out there. Well, the problem with that is that Kamala Harris has a proven track record of hating law enforcement officers and siding with criminals. We're going to chat a little bit about that with our dear friend Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. Jimmy's going to be with us at 3:33. I'm looking forward to that. Now, I know we touched on this before, but we were really, really, really pressed for time. So I want Jimmy to dive into that. Oh, and out in Denver, Colorado, they're now telling police officers, stop enforcing the law. Kid you not. It's crazy what's going on. Yeah. Credit Care of Richmond, text line 833-804-1140. Your chance to win some tickets. Casey and the Sunshine Band Camp coming to Doswell on August 31st. We'll give those away at 4:20 this afternoon. 3:27, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:33, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday. Yeah, it is. The storms have arrived, by the way. The skies have opened, and torrential downpours are being visited upon the center of the universe as we speak. You and I will probably see this for the next couple of hours, but the evening, looking like it's going to be clearing out. So there you have it. You'll be able to go inside and watch the Democrats' National Convention and, well, you know, say goodbye to Joe Biden, I guess. Somebody will have to tell him what's going on, although I think he now knows what's going on. Sort of. It's weird. Kamala Harris, I'm told, was the, quote, top cop in California. That's the language that's being used to try and make her more palatable to certain voters. And I just thought, well, a couple of weeks back, Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, was with us. You know, Jimmy joins us on a regular basis every other week or thereabouts. And he had a lot of insight on the vice president, and I think it is a good time to revisit some of that and expand on some of that. And I'm happy to say he's here. Jimmy, thank you for being here.
Jeffrey, how are you? It's good to join you.
Oh, it's great to have you here. And before we dive into all of this stuff, let me wish you a very, very sincere congratulations, a mazel tov on yet another beautiful grandchild.
Well, thank you. This is number 3 for us, Jeff, and it never, ever gets old. You know, it's one of those things. It never, ever gets old. But all we cared about was 10 fingers, 10 toes, and breathing on her own. It was a good day and God's blessing. So very, very privileged and humbled. So thank you for the mazel tov.
Absolutely. She is a cutie. All right, my friend. I am now hearing and seeing pieces of some would call it campaign material, others might call it propaganda, but referring to Kamala Harris as the former, quote, top cop in California. You want to share with us some of her law enforcement exploits and how she's conducted herself?
Well, I think a little bit of it, Jeff, is a political rebranding, if you will. And mm-hmm. you've been around the politics game long enough to understand how that happens. And obviously in the way that this election season has gone and the way that she was rolled into this role and has, I don't know, what has it been, Jeff? It's been 25, 28, how many days now without a sit-down interview where we can actually get a good sense of what her policies are? But yes, I think many of us who are either, you know, in the law enforcement ranks or former law enforcement or who backed the blue, and I know yep. Central Virginia is full of folks like that I just described,
That's right.
have kind of listened with a bit of chagrin to hear her now rebrand herself. And yes, she was the district attorney in San Francisco for, I believe, about 7 years. She was the top cop or the attorney general for the state of California for 6 years. And then she was a senator and then obviously, you know, served as Joe Biden's vice president. And the way that she is now rebranding herself, I think it's important just to kind of highlight and point out a couple of things about her relationship with the police. So mm-hmm. you'll remember, and I'm sure your audience, because they're in tune on these things and you keep them up to date on things. But back in 2014, in the summer of 2014, there was a young African-American male by the name of Michael Brown, a 19-year-old kid who had just committed a strong-arm robbery
yep.
and then got into a struggle with a police officer, tried to take his gun away, a cop by the name of Darren Wilson, and the police officer was forced to shoot and kill Mr. Brown. This led to days and weeks of rioting in the city of Ferguson, Missouri, and across the country as well, and kind of launched the Black Lives Matter movement.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Obama Department of Justice, which, as I recall, was led by Eric Holder, did a complete investigation into the shooting. And, Jeff, they determined that it was a justifiable shooting. This is by the Department of Justice's standards. Well, just a couple of years ago, Jeff, in 2019, Kamala Harris, then a sitting U.S. senator, continued to perpetuate the myth, the trope, the canard, the calumny, the lie that was Michael Brown was murdered, and made a post that is still up on Twitter, or X, as you will, suggesting that he was murdered. How does the top cop of California, how does somebody who was a sitting U.S. senator and now vice president of the United States and the presumptive Democrat nominee for the presidency do that? Well, you'll remember a couple years after the Michael Brown incident, you remember Jesse Smollett, Jeff? Does that name, he was a star of a show called Empire.
Yeah.
African-American man, he was a gay man, and he came up with this just completely fantastical, farcical story that he walked out onto the mean streets of Chicago in sub-zero freezing temperatures at like 1 o'clock in the morning to go get ice pops, if you will,
yep.
and was jumped by two guys who beat him up. They were wearing MAGA hats and they poured bleach on him and tied a noose around his neck.
Right.
Well, it was a complete charade, something where he had paid two brothers to do this to him to get some more fame and attention, if that's what you need.
Yeah.
Well, again, Kamala Harris, you know, former U.S. senator, former California Attorney General. And as an Attorney General, you're normally skeptical about all things because, you know, when you've been in the criminal justice system long enough, you understand that things have to pass, Jeff, the smell test.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she referred to what happened to Mr. Smollett as a modern day lynching and has never walked that back either and has posted about that. And you say to yourself, boy, wouldn't this be a good time now to say, hey, guess what? Like everybody else, I got duped.
That's right.
It gets worse. So at the height of the George Floyd protests and riots in the summer of 2020, Kamala Harris posted online for a Michigan bail fund. This bail fund was providing money to people that got arrested during those riots. Now, Jeff, nobody got arrested for exercising their constitutional First Amendment rights to peaceably assemble and protest.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a number of people that were arrested for I don't know, failure to disperse, for starting fires, for breaking windows and storefronts and turning over cars and assaulting people. And she encouraged people to donate to this fund to help these people get back on the streets. And one individual, after he was released, went on to murder somebody, and a number of other individuals were arrested for more violent crimes afterwards. Jeff, do you want the prosecution to continue?
Sadly, yes. I mean, it's one of those situations, Jimmy. There are so many pieces of evidence, and a little bit like inflation and weight gain, they build on top of each other. I just wanted to be as clear as is humanly possible exactly what her track record is. You know, it really flies in the face of this rebranding as California's former top cop.
Well, Jeff, I mean, you'll recall the images of CBP agents and officers who were on horseback, yeah, and who were trying to round up illegal migrants that were trying to cross a river down on the southern border. And these were Haitian migrants. Again, they weren't doing it through the process, through the Department of State, the way that you're supposed to do it. Yep. But you remember the images of these guys on horseback, and the Biden administration made the smear, the malicious smear, that they were whipping these people as if they were slaves. And I remember that Kamala Harris went on The View, and even after this had been debunked, that it had absolutely, the story had been debunked, that nobody was using their reins to whip anybody, nobody was carrying whips, but again, said it evoked imagery of slavery and Jim Crow, what she witnessed. And again, never walked it back, never apologized, never said, hey, I got out over my skis, I shouldn't have said that. I understand it was overly hyperbolic, but another disgraceful incident. And then when she was interviewing, I believe his name was Vidiola, but he was one of then President Trump's nominees to be the head of either CBP or ICE. Mm-hmm. It was ICE. And she referred to this gentleman who was, you know, who was trying, he was appointed and was trying to get mm-hmm. Senate confirmation, if he understood that ICE was akin to a white supremacy organization, if he understood that that's the way that the perception was about ICE. And again, helpful? No. Does it help promote or incite people? Yes. And the examples that I'm using, Jeff, they're not even policy related. It's not like I disagree with her on bail reform, where you take away, you make it cashless bail so people can just get in and they can commit a crime and be released the same day. I'm against that. Most sane people are for recidivists and violent offenders. It's not even policy. Sanctuary cities, which she supports. What is a sanctuary city? It's a city where the municipality decides to defy federal immigration law and refuses to work with federal authorities. So if an illegal alien commits a crime, they will not contact ICE to have that person deported. Mm. Kamala Harris supports that as well. So it's not just the things she says, which is, you know, rhetoric that doesn't help. Police officers in this country have been assassinated in New York and in Louisiana and in Texas because of things that people have said about police officers, and that has caused the assassins to do this. They've left screeds, they've made Facebook posts, and they've said the reason they were doing this is because of the racist cops in this country. And Jeff, this is a person who wants to be our commander in chief and wants to be in the Oval Office. And I just think it's fair that, and I know you want your listeners to understand what her history and relationship with law enforcement is.
Jimmy, I sit back and, well, first let me remind everybody, Jimmy Galliano joining us, just the salt of the earth, the best of the best, retired supervisory special agent out of the FBI. It's painful to listen to the recitation, Jimmy. It really is. And I understand people can change. People have a different opinion. They do all this. So, again, rebranding. But she has never at any point apologized for, walked back, changed any of these earlier statements or assessments. And they are, my opinion, clearly anti-law enforcement. They are anti-law-abiding citizens. And I think she has thrown her her entire mind into the support of those who break the law, her entire heart into that. And that bothers me a lot. And I guess we'll see as we head through the next 80 days or so what happens in that vein. As we talk about law enforcement, I always want to give you the opportunity, Jimmy, for the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. You're on the board of directors. I wish this organization were not necessary. No offense. I'm sure you guys do important stuff and have great meetings, but boy, I wish you didn't have to. I'd love to get you to just share a little bit about that with everybody, if you don't mind.
Sure, Jeff. Always appreciate the opportunity. And the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, you can go to policedefense.org. That's policedefense.org, which is our website. It's a law enforcement advocacy group, and it is a group that that dispenses donations, money, to help out for the legal defense of unjustly accused law enforcement officers. And, Jeff, one of the things, kind of to the point that we were just talking about in regards to Vice President Kamala Harris and her less than stellar track record with law enforcement, is that we're getting more and more into the advocacy business. You can go to our website and you can see some of the things that people believe that are simply untruths. And we use statistics, we use actual tangible facts and evidence to dispel some of the tropes and the mischaracterizations and the false narratives about police officers. So thank you, as always, Jeff, for giving us that heads up. Again, it's policedefense.org.
Well, I love that, Jimmy. Maybe if you don't mind, next time you're on, let's talk about some of those, these common misconceptions, these tropes that are out there that are simply untrue. You mind?
Would love that, Jeff. I'll be prepared next time. Sounds like something we could get into.
All right, and kiss all of the beautiful grandchildren, please. They are absolutely adorable. They come from good stock, so I expected nothing less.
We appreciate that, Jeff. We're hoping you're going to send us some barbecue from Jake's place, because it's never too early to start your grandkids on a good diet of Jake's Place barbecue.
We will put together a little delivery for you. That is Jimmy Galliano, just the absolute best of the best. He really is. Retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. Continues to give back to this country. I've never seen somebody so passionate about giving back. And he's just rock solid. Always happy to have him here. Carl Carlson's going to join us at 4:33. Carl and I actually sat down for one of our regular financial planning meetings. And I'm going to let Carl share a little bit about that, because you got to get on board. I'm telling you, you got to be ready, particularly if we've got socialism coming our way. It is 3:48. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:52, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Monday afternoon. Economics 101, supply and demand. Government never fixes any of those things. You cannot show me a single solitary example throughout history where government has ever been able to fix an economic issue. They've been able to create all sorts of economic problems. And we are now dealing with inflation. I explained to you how inflation builds upon itself. I use the example of gaining weight. I got a couple of notes going, hey, wait a minute, Jeff. You always talk about weight loss RBA and how much weight you've lost. Why didn't you talk about losing weight? Because then you're not going to pay attention. Because nobody's afraid of losing weight, right? Everybody's like, well, that sounds like a good plan. But you can imagine gaining weight, right? 34 pounds you'd be up in those couple of years. But you could honestly say that your weight gain was less in the last year, because you had only gained 3 pounds as opposed to 6 pounds or 10 pounds or 12 pounds. Or you see what I'm saying? You wouldn't be lying. You really wouldn't. You would be completely and totally honest when you said your weight gain is down. You could probably even figure out some percentages that make it sound much more impressive and happy. And then you go, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. What about all that weight you gained? Yes, let's use the Kamala Harris logic. Your weight would be unburdened by what has been. You know, gaining all that weight. It's pretty simple. And what causes inflation? Well, Kamala Harris tells you that high prices in the supermarket cause inflation. No, that's the result of inflation. What causes inflation is too many dollars chasing too few goods. That's the real elementary explanation. And what happens if you are, say, the United States federal government, and you crank up all these printing presses, and you print trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars? It really does become fiat currency. It's not worth what it was. That's what causes inflation. And do you really think that by taking money from some and redistributing it to others, even with the best of intentions, well, I want everybody to be able to buy a house, so we're going to give them $25,000. Well, I think that's a fine idea for you. If that's what you would like to do, then by God, Madam Vice President, you do that. You and your husband go get second jobs. I don't even know if he has a first job, the husband. I mean, aside from recruiting new nannies and stuff like that, which seemed to be his primary objective in his first marriage. But other than that, I don't know. But if you want to go out and get a second job and then give that money to people, you want to help buy a house, that's fine. I mean, look, Governor Youngkin and his wife donate the governor's salary every single quarter of the year. Every 3 months, I get a note that says Governor and Mrs. Youngkin have chosen a charity to which they will donate the governor's salary, which I think is beautiful. Donald Trump, as president, used to donate his salary every single year to a charity. I don't see Kamala Harris donating anything except your money and mine to friends of hers. Tomorrow morning, my buddy John Reed will be here at 6 a.m. Please make sure you are listening. 356, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.